Verse 9. Hey, Tyler, welcome. We've been talking about the pastor, and I hear you've been recently called to preach, so you found a good time to visit. Oh, you know what? Yeah. Is there anybody else downstairs for mommy's class? Just you two? All right, come on up, sit next to each other, behave. We don't do coloring books up here, so. Well, no, you guys, in your classes, you guys don't do crafts in your class, do you? No, you're too old, too old, too distinguished. Too old, too distinguished. Titus 1:9 says this, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. I've often heard this about a pastor or any preacher, really. They say that all a preacher needs is the Bible and a good Bible dictionary. He doesn't need an education. He just needs those two things. Hey, Dwayne. All I really need are some wire snips, a screwdriver, some small things to do what you do, right?
You don't want me to answer that.
We had the plumber over. They fixed the problem in our bathroom. And he came in and he explained the most complicated of endeavors as though it was just nothing to him. All right, we're going to blow out this wall. We're going to combine these pipes. We're going to get all this put together. We're going to sweat that together. We're going to come down here. We're going to jackhammer into the floor just a little bit to line it up with the pipe. And I go, oh, man, we're going to be here for a couple days. And then they were gone by 2 o'clock. To someone with experience, to someone with knowledge, complicated things are not. All I need is a good set of knives to be a good butcher, right? And I don't know. You put me into a butcher shop right now, I'm gonna get kicked out. They say, hey, you're slowing up the go here. You need education. And the number one education that you need in anything that you're doing is the proper process in which to do things. And it's not just about inflection or tone. A lot of preachers' colleges, that's what they do now, is they'll sit there and they'll teach you how to get people into the church. How to dress, what to read, how to have extra activities, how to provide fundraising, how to do a building program. And sure, those things are necessary, but they skimp on the most important facet of a preacher or a pastor. And that is how to study the Bible. How to study the Bible. Not just the doctrines that you need to memorize to pass the test, not just the doctrines you need to agree with in order to be a part of your denomination, but knowing what the Bible says. Knowing how to take Scripture and discern Scripture with Scripture. And that is the most popular, that's the most successful way to study the Bible, is to let the Bible interpret itself. You need to be able to read text, context. You need to be able to go from book to book, chapter to chapter, seeing the same themes. While the book is incredibly easy to understand and follow, there are things there. Why? Because this was translated. And not only was it translated, but it was translated when the English language was at its height of its classes, its height of its usefulness. We're not there anymore. We have disturbed, disrupted, and disintegrated our own language. So now where we sit, we're at a different spot. Words mean different things sometimes than what they say here. Now, do we fix the Bible? No, because the Bible ain't the one that's broken. You fix what's broken, right? And what's broken is our understanding of the English language today. So I have to study to make sure that what I'm reading is what I know those words to be, and I have to correct myself. I've heard a lot of preachers do that. Well, you see, they made an error in the interpretation of it. What that means is this, and there wasn't an error in interpretation. That's what it meant when they interpreted it. We forgot. We messed up. So we should never try to correct the King James Bible. We need to correct the way we speak. We need to speak in a more biblical way. Words need to mean what they mean. So we see here and we pull this apart. In understanding doctrine, the first word we have there is holding. A pastor must do more than just know or believe. He must have a strong heart-held conviction of the truth. He must be able to prove all things by the word of God and hold fast that which is good, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We must be able to hold fast to true biblical doctrine. Not just knowing it, not just believing it, but having a dogged grip on it. When I read this passage, I consider the pit bull. When a pit bull bites, it has a very strong bite to it. What a lot of folks don't know is it has to get to a certain point before the jaws will unlock. Now, for those of you who love pit bulls, I ain't saying anything bad. They've got wonderful temperaments unless you teach them to do improper things. But if a chihuahua bites me, I'm going to be okay. A pit bull grabs a hold of me, I'm not going to be okay. And very, very rarely are you going to be okay when you walk away from that. So you got to treat that with a certain kind of understanding. But that's how a pastor or preacher needs to hang on to the Word of God. And again, not just them, but everybody. I need to know why I believe this. I need to know where it came from in Scripture. There's a lot of people that believe a lot of things, but they can't prove it in Scripture. And whether they're right or they're wrong, it doesn't matter. You must be able to prove it. Because you will come up across somebody who doesn't understand it the way you do. And you must educate them. You must be able to teach them with the Bible. If you cannot teach within the realms of the Bible, if you cannot form your arguments based on Scripture, you've got no argument whatsoever as far as I'm concerned. And I've seen that so many times where people will say, well, you know, this is just what I always thought. Okay, well, it's right, but where in Scripture? Well, I don't know. Well, you go up to somebody who doesn't believe and you tell them, well, it's what you think, but you can't prove it to them scripturally. You got nothing. I've heard people say, well, God wouldn't do this and God wouldn't do that. And they try to phrase that into an argument to prove something they believe. No, use Scripture. God does not put idle words in here. They're all here for a purpose. Read them. Study them. Be able to say something about them. When it says holding, it doesn't say just holding. It says hold fast. Hold fast, meaning tightly. A pastor must be willing to defend the truth with his life, if need be. So last night, I was pulling down some old fixtures. And I saw one that was put up by Brother Tate and Brother Hamill. How do I know that? Because they signed it and they dated it. Now, here's the thing. I'm a nerd. I get tickled about that stuff. I love seeing the dates. And I love seeing the names on that sort of a thing. It makes me smile. And then I pulled it off of the wall. I put it over in a pile. But I took a picture of it. It meant a lot to me. Nowadays, there's a group of young people who look at some of the old doctrines. And they're doing exactly that. They're taking the teachings of the Bible that were long held, and they're throwing them aside, right? They're removing the old landmarks, as we would say, for no other reason than the fact that they're not popular today. And sadly, that is what I did to that light fixture down there. I pulled it down. We're going to get rid of it. Took a picture of it because I thought it was neat, but we're going to get rid of it. You can't do that with doctrine. You can't do that with the teachings of the Word of God. Right? Those fixtures, if those men were around, if those men were in this, members of this church today, you know what they would probably do? They would be right down there with me, pulling those old things down, putting new ones up there, signing new ones. That's what they would do. We used to have this lady at Flat Rock, you couldn't pull anything off the walls. You couldn't just, Brother so-and-so put those up there. And that's when I learned that phrase, and I kept having to say it to folks. Hey, listen, you know, if Brother so-and-so were alive today, you know, if Brother Simonton were alive today, he would have come, ripped it off the wall because it stopped working and put a new one up there. That's what he would have done. And that's why he did that to the first one. He replaced something that some Brother so-and-so put up there. But the point is this, is some people are losing doctrine just as fast. Well, Pastor so-and-so and Brother so-and-so and Doctor so-and-so says this. If it ain't Bible, it don't stay. And if it is Bible, it stays. It stays. There's a lot of young folks out there. They get confused. They get confused. Why? Well, that's what the older generations did. We've got to fix what the older generations did. No, you don't. Because this scripture, these teachings, they didn't belong to any generation. They belong to God. We've got no right to mess with them. Right? How a man should dress, how a woman should dress. We don't get to pick on that. We don't get to change that. And when we say holding fast, that's what we ought to do. Hold tight to this doctrine. Hold tight to the ways that we do things. Why? Because they're biblical. There's nothing wrong with them. Well, the world don't seem to like them. Hey, the world never liked them. When Jesus would teach and preach, they didn't like it then. Most of the people that are meeting this morning are teaching and preaching things contrary to the Bible. And if Jesus were to come back today, they'd hate him for his doctrine even still. Most people who call themselves Christians would be abhorred at some of the things that he has to say. We must hold fast to it. We've got a new phrase that people have been using called deconstruction. Where we, well, why do we believe that? We don't have to believe that. We can change that. No, you need to study it. Well, I deconstructed and I no longer believe that homosexuality is a sin. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Doesn't matter what you took apart in your head. What does the Bible say? Well, we don't believe in the idea of the pastor. We don't believe in the idea of this or that. We don't believe in dress. We don't believe in some of these hardline things anymore. It doesn't matter. It's what it says. And as long as we want to be called Christian, as long as we want to be called the children of God, we ought to hold fast to these things. We ought to. It's what we do. It's what we should do. Not just holding, but holding fast. As verse says, faithful word. Again, verse 9, holding fast the faithful word. This Bible does not fail. Everything it says to do, if you do it, things will go exactly the way it says it will go. When I pray, when I honor God, when I bring to Him my grief, when I bring to Him my troubles, when I bring to Him my elation, my happiness, when I bring those things to Him, the things that He promises will happen will happen. Right? Either He will say, as Brother Dennis mentioned this morning, the grace of Lord's grace will be sufficient. The answer will be wait, or no, or yes, but God will work in that. When I obey Him, my life will be better than when I disobey Him. One, because God's going to bless me, or punish me, depending on my behavior. Number two, God doesn't give us silly things to do. These things all have real life consequences in the things around us. So life will be better. This word is faithful. A pastor must be mighty in the scriptures. Why? Because this is the only thing a pastor has really to offer you. There's not much I can offer. There's not much any pastor can offer for your worries, your cares, your mourning, your grief, your problems, your worry. There's very little that I can do other than point to you what God can do. And if a pastor, a preacher, is not mighty in the scriptures, there's very use for him. We see some of these cute little preacherettes out there. Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. Okay, let's have the praise band come back up for another 20 minutes. I keep getting a tickle. We were invited to participate in a thing at a local from a local non-denom type thing. And they said, they touted, we're going to have a 20-minute sermon. A 20-minute sermon. Now me, I'm sitting there going, my congregation's probably just glad if I don't go 20 minutes over. You know? A 20-minute sermon, what must that be to a church that's used to a 15-minute sermon? What must that be to a church that's used to a 10-minute, God loves you just the way you are? Come as you are, come as you are, come as you are. Nothing about repentance once you get here. Nothing about change once you kneel before the throne of God. No, just come as you are. God loves you in your place. That's not who we are. That's not what we ought to be. We ought to hold fast to the word of God and knowing that it is faithful, knowing that it is good. A pastor or a preacher is not there to make you feel chipper only. Now, I might preach some sermons make you chipper, especially if I went for that 20-minute deal, you know. I might preach a sermon make you chipper. I might preach a sermon make you mad. I pray I preach a sermon makes you feel convicted. But there's nothing that I can do outside of what God has already written and penned. Any pastor or preacher, their only use, their only real strength in your life comes to this word. Now, folks, I'm going to say what I've been saying since we began this study. Now, let's flip the coin to you. The only good you can do in your own life will be based on this word. There's nothing we can do outside of it. This word is faithful. I ever buy a self-help book? I know we don't have a lot of bookstores around anymore. But you go through the self-help section of a book or a psychology section of a bookstore. Man, isn't there a lot of books? And sometimes maybe you'll read an article about how to do better at this and do better at that. I've got 7 books on running. Look at me. I've read all of them. Some of them I've read up to 3 times. Didn't do a thing for me, did it? Didn't do a thing. Well, I mean, it taught me some things. Some of you out there, you've got cookbooks all over the house, and you'll still burn a thing. You know what I mean? These self-help books, they're not all faithful. Sometimes they'll give you bad advice. Sometimes they'll give you really bad advice. But people buy them all the same. The advice that comes from this book is not man-approved. It is God-approved. You don't have to taste it. You don't have to test it. You don't have to mess around with it. You know you can go both feet in at the same time with it. Why? Because it is from the Lord. It's from the Lord. It ought to be held dear to us. It ought to be loved by us. It ought to be a shelter to us, a guide to us. Something we do without question is go to the Word. This is not theory. This is fact. Of all the worlds and all the theories we have, we'll see. You know what I'm saying? We have a theory. We'll see if that works. This we know works, for it has always worked. The Word is faithful. Continuing on, holding fast to the faithful Word as He hath been taught. As He hath been taught. Now, our buddies over at the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Mormons and a lot of those others, they say we have to teach you. Why? Because if you read it, you won't come to our conclusion. When the Bible says taught, we mean the Word as it sits. Not any additives, nothing changed, nothing. Well, you see where it says that Mary was a virgin. Well, that means that obviously she stayed a virgin for all of her life. And forget that part where it talks about Jesus having brothers from Mary. Now, teach the Word as it is. Sure, she was once a virgin. Then she had kids. Now, I don't know the modern day definition of that word, but I know what it meant in the Bible. Once you have kids, you can't tell me that that's what you are anymore. So we have to be taught. There is no escaping the need for a sound biblical education. The Bible must be received into our minds, not in a diluted or perverted way, but in a sound and structured way. One that lets the Bible set the tone, the definition, and its own explanation. When I was taught by many men, and as you were taught by the same way, this is the Word of God. We were taught how to go through it. We were taught much of what it means, and we will continue to be taught for the rest of our lives. Through one's own church, as where I believe biblical education must take place. The pastor must teach the young preacher. the church must be taught by the pastor, by dedicated Sunday school teachers, our men who come up and they give the devotion. They provide education and encouragement in many ways. We must be taught within the church. I had a band teacher growing up in middle school and high school. And he said this, he goes, it's not my job to teach you the instrument. It's my job to make sure it sounds good when we get to the concert. And I struggled with that. So I went home to mom. I said, hey, mom, my band teacher says it's not his job to teach me how to play the instrument. It's his job to teach us how to play together as a band. He says that I need to go and have you pay for me to go to lessons. And that confused her. Now, please help me out here. Anybody else confused by someone who's supposed to be teaching? That's confusing, isn't it? Many churches, that's what it is. Hey, listen, study the Bible on your own. But when we come together, this is about worship and about some lighthearted encouragement. No, this is where we do the business. This is where the word is preached. This is where it is taught. It is one of the main reasons why we are here. And yes, we praise. Yes, we worship. Yes, we do all the other things. But not to the detriment of anything else. And that's what I see so often in churches, not among our groups, but among outside, at least franchise type groups. They will worship to the detriment of education. And there are other churches that will educate to the detriment of worship. We must strike a balance in all things. We must make sure that we're doing everything according to the way that it should. But there must be education, right? Church members ought to go forth and bring people in. And as the Holy Spirit, as the Lord saves them, well, as the Holy Spirit convicts them and the Lord saves them, we do what? We teach. You know, we've got it set up. We went through the course. We've got stuff ready for someone who is newly saved to come to the church, for us to take them to side and disciple them, to catch them up to speed. Why? Because what's the purpose of somebody who hasn't been taught? And while, yes, it'll be the endeavor of the pastor for the rest of their lives to teach them, we can teach them a little bit faster while they're enjoying. So that would be a Sunday school class for us to do for somebody who's a new member. Right? And then what do? They join us in the congregation. And we're sitting here and everybody's getting that good education from what? The Bible. And it must be given, this education must be given by faithful men. Right? When I went to, when I was deciding what school to go to, Tennessee Temple was my pick. I had a scholarship. I was ready to go. And then I found out that their Bible teacher was leaving. And the president of the college, who was brand new that year, said, don't worry about that. We have a lot more modern thinking teachers coming through. I go, I don't like the sound of that at all. Again, the problem isn't that it's modern. The problem is with what modern believes, right? If modern had a different belief system, I'd be a lot more comfortable with it. But they say, well, they're more modern-day thinking teachers will be coming. Then I will not be. And that was a hard decision for me to make, going home to mom and dad. Hey, listen, I turned this down. What do you mean you turned it down? It was pay. Why would I go? Why would I go? If a biology major went to a college and they said, oh yeah, we're canceling the biology department, but we're going to have a really good chemistry group come in. It'd be a waste, wouldn't it? If somebody was going for accounting, and hey, we're eliminating the math section, but you know, accounting is a lot like business, so we'll throw you over there. And that's what would be the purpose? So I went, and there were some pastors down in Cincinnati that started a school, and I spent a year down with them. And I came up and I finished three more years with my pastor teaching on a regular basis. When I wasn't at work, we'd have class. On a day where I didn't have work, we'd have classes. I'd be in classes all day. And I'd have tests and things like that. Why? Faithful men teaching the younger generation who are out there serving the Lord. Not ones trying to make a buck. Not ones trying to get away with something or hide in a place or get a guaranteed income, but those that were faithful to the word, faithful to the ministry. Every young preacher needs to have something like that. And man, I didn't know you were going to be here today, but I would have said that whether you're here or not. But every young preacher needs to have someone to teach him the Bible, the process of being a pastor. the process of being a preacher. Right? I don't preach a lot of the ways that my pastor preaches, but I preach the same doctrine, but I sound different. And that's probably not a good thing. But you've heard Pastor Hugin up and preach. He's got a different style than I do. He's far more, how do I use the phrase, intellectual than I am. He really is. And one day I hope to get there. But that is the man who taught me. And he taught me those things. Right? Inflection, character, those things, those will be a little different. Everybody's a little bit different in the pulpit. But the doctrine is the same, must be the same. The approach must be the same. The humility must be the same. And that can only ever be taught by a pastor. That can only ever be taught by one who is faithfully teaching the Word of God. And of course, we cannot deny, we cannot forget personal Bible study. Personal Bible study. See, some pastors, and they fall into this trap, and it's a very rough one to get into, they only ever study what they're going to preach. Almost all of the pastors that I know, I don't know of anybody who doesn't do it this way. All the pastors I know, they study for their sermons and they study for themselves. That's two different times, right? You following me on this? There's the study that they do for their sermons. And every brother who's ever spoken to me that we fellowship with has said the same. Do not fail your personal Bible study. So there's what you're studying to preach and there's what you're studying because that's what you need. And oftentimes, one will lead to the other, but you need that personal Bible study. That has been one of the biggest bits of advice that I've received from our kind of pastors, is you must also have personal Bible study. And again, how do we flip this around? This ought not to be touched only on Sundays and Wednesdays. How would you know I'm right if you're not in the Word? You're putting a lot of faith in what? In me. Study as well. Study personally. Have a desire. Have that hunger. I love it when people bring Bible study questions to me. Want to know why I love it? Not just because it challenges my mind and gives me something to do. Yeah, and oftentimes some of y'all have done that. You know, Brother Charlie, you're really good at that. You'll bring up a question to me, and I'll go, I really want to get into that. You know, I'd love that. It's almost like somebody threw a ball for a dog. Oh, man, I want to. But you know what? You know the number one reason why that makes me feel so good? Because you wouldn't ask those questions if you weren't studying. Now, to a pastor's heart, that means a lot. That's huge, because now I know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing outside. Now, if you've never brought a question, don't sit there thinking, well, I've never asked him a question, so he's got to think I'm not studying. It doesn't work like that. But the point of the matter is, they go, aha, they're studying. They're digging into it. And again, that's not the only way I know people are studying. Please don't read too much into that. Don't try to find a question just to prove to me something. I guaranteed I know, all right? But now we ought to have personal study. There ought to be personal study in the pulpit, personal study in the pew, no matter what. We'll try to finish this real quick. Hath been taught that he may be able. That he may be able. Listen, there's going to be moments where you're going to come across to a preacher or a pastor. You're going to ask them a question. They might not have the answer right at hand. And I'll be honest with you, if you ask me before I preach or after I preach a question, I'm not able. And I'm not the only one. Your mind gets so all over the place in what you're doing, you'll forget names, dates, your own birthday. All right? Just it'll happen. But he ought to be able to go to Scripture and find that answer, or provide that answer out of Scripture. I have a hard time following people's teachings if they don't provide adequate Scripture for it. And again, that's why I love, again, the preachers that have trained me and taught me that I'm surrounded by, because that is what they use. There's a young preacher up in Traverse City. And I'll listen to his sermons. And he does a really good job of taking Scripture and using Scripture in his sermons. And I said, I pulled him aside. I said, hey, listen. I go, how's it going? He goes, well, and he, you know, Talk to them how a lot of us young preachers talk about our preaching. We're nervous about it, ain't we? Are we nervous? I remember. How's it going? And you're like, I don't know enough to know how it's going, to be honest with you. I say, hey, I want to tell you something. You know, it takes years for a lot of young preachers to be able to take the Scripture and just speak plainly from the Scripture and put Scripture or use Scripture for every argument. A lot of people have an argument and they'll add some Scripture, they'll pepper it in. I go, everything you're saying, you're including Scripture for as a very beneficial, very wonderful thing. All right, a preacher, whether he's young or he's been in the ministry for a while, he has experienced what we say must be scriptural. We must be able to prove and to teach. And for what purpose? Verse 9, as we continue it, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. What was it that the devil did when he approached Adam and Eve? Did God say? And that is where doctrine falls apart every day. We don't know what God says. Or we know what God says, and some slick talker tries to convince us that that's not what he meant. We must be able to know doctrine. We must be able to know Scripture as it is so that we can convince and to teach. I've had discussions with people in the past where it came down to, well, you know, I don't think you're right. And I go, well, that's fine. But what about the Scripture? But what about the Scripture? Well, you know, I don't know about that. But the Scripture! To me, when I'm talking about this, I'm specifically referring to anybody I've ever talked about concerning the doctrines of grace. Anybody who's ever disagreed on the doctrines of grace, that's where it always comes down to. Well, I still don't think God would ever be that way. But the Scripture! Right? But the Scripture! Oh, well, I still don't know about... when we studied it, I found like 5 verses in different thoughts that we would have, and I limited them. If we studied verse by verse, we would still be studying the doctrines of grace. I talked to a young man just recently, and I'm like, but it's there. Yeah, but I don't like it. What am I supposed to do with you? You will talk the same about dress and things like that, but that's what it says. Yeah, but in these modern times, no! That's what it says. And there's going to be a lot of gainsayers when it comes down to hardline biblical truth. And we need to be able to tell them why. Why is it that Home Missionary Baptist Church has never wavered on its teaching on dress, on its teachings of the doctrines of grace, on its teachings of the role of the church, the business of the church, the King James Bible? Why have we never changed? Because it's biblical. Because it's true. It's not because we've decided. It is because that is what the Lord has said. And particularly for a pastor, he needs to know what the Word says. I think Brother Charlie's mentioned this, and I've heard this before. My pastor used to say it. Every church is one pastor away from apostasy. Because you get someone with enough charisma, you get somebody with enough personality, and you'll get a church split. And if what you're doing is tickling ears, you'll get people to backfill those empty pews for some ear tickling. We want the truth. And that must be what is taught to every pastor and preacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.